welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer, and giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. I tell you, I feel good already. Yeah. Y'all got your Bible open? Y'all ready? Let's turn to Psalm 23. Now, I got to tell you, the Lord has had me in the study of the Psalms, and he has blessed me in such a way that I've been able to come away looking at the Psalms much differently than I've had all these years. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I can relate and identify to what the psalmist is saying about life, but I'm telling you, these Psalms are truly a blessing, truly a blessing. Now, you had Psalm 23? Now, I have a difficult task today, difficult task. There are two types of texts that are difficult to preach. First type of text is a text that is so unfamiliar to the congregation that you have to spend half of your preaching time unpacking it, setting it up, and by the time you get to where you want to be, it's time to close. That's difficult. The other type of difficult text to preach is a text that is so familiar that by the time you tell the people go to Psalm 23, they done already made up in their mind that they already know what the preacher is going to say. I ask if you would give me an opportunity to just draw some fresh water from an old familiar text. If you would just allow your mind and your heart to be open to see how God's going to move today. And I done already told you, I don't know exactly how he's going to move. I got a little roadmap. But he's got the freedom to move any way he wants. Amen? Amen. Now, I know I've been blessed. I don't know about y'all. But I was between Psalm 27 and Psalm 23. And then the praise and worship, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I had to have a little talk with God right then and there. God, you got jokes. Amen. Because that's where I wanted to go. But God said, no, I want you at 23. So I said, all right. So at least I have an idea of what my next assignment will be. Amen. So you ought to be at the 23rd Psalm by now. All right. These words you'll find. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For the next few minutes, because today is the best day of my life. I want to talk from the topic, the title, or the theme, Victory in the Valley. Victory in the Valley. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, you know I need you. I need you, God, to walk with me. I need you, God, to talk with me. And I need you, God, to hold my hand. Father, have your way in this preaching moment. Reduce David, decrease David, resurrect spirit. Let the people hear from heaven. God, we pray that we could leave here different than the way we came in, and that we will always give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Victory in the valley. Psalm 23 is perhaps the most familiar, the most loved, the most memorized, the most quoted of all the Psalms. In fact, all three major world religions recite this 23rd Psalm. The Muslims recite it. The Jews recite it. And yes, even the Christians recite this 23rd Psalm. That speaks to the importance and the significance of this beautiful Psalm. Richard Morgan puts it this way. He says, Psalm 23 remains the best loved of all the biblical passages, for the living have lived by it. The dying have died by it. This is a psalm that has never, never failed to speak to where each and every one of us finds ourselves on this journey we call life. Notice, if you will, the placement of Psalm 23. It's placed right in the middle between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. I hope you ain't closed your Bible. You see, Psalm 22 is a psalm of an individual lament. You see, it gives us a moving and touching picture of someone who is suffering, who is isolated, and who is torn by some form of affliction. For in Psalm 22, verse 1, the psalmist cries out the ultimate cry of desperation. The psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 24, on the other hand, is a glorious hymn of exhortation. It's a magnificent celebration, and it's a praise of God. Psalm 24 raises a question. Who is the King of Glory? And it answers and it says, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Now, according to most biblical scholars, they will tell you that Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 are designed to give us a biblical picture of two mountains. You see, Psalm 22 gives us the biblical picture of Mount Calvary. For Jesus cried out in his seven last words, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Psalm 24, on the other hand, gives us a biblical illustration of Mount Zion. For the Bible says on Mount Zion is where we will give God all the praise and all the glory, and all the worship will take place at Mount Zion. So here we are with a picture of two mountains, Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Scholars call Psalm 23 the Psalm of the Valley. You see, because the two mountains, you have the valley. And in this valley psalm, Psalm 23, I just want to talk about the valley for just a few minutes if I could. You see, life's situations is full of ups and down, twists and turns, highs and lows. And there are times when we just don't know what we're going through. And all of us, from the pulpit to the door, will experience a valley. I know we like to sing, "There's a blessing with my name on it." But I gotta tell you, there's also a valley with your name on it. Can I get a witness? I stopped by on divine assignment to let you know that when we find ourselves in the valley of life, that we can have victory in the valley. Yeah. That draws my attention to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Can I quickly tell you three things about having victory in the valley, and then I'll take my seat? Is that all right? The first thing, or the first point, to victory in the valley is that we walk. Don't miss that. The psalmist didn't say run. The psalmist said walk. You see, it's our natural inclination to want to run and to get out of this valley experience as fast as we can. For the valley is an uncomfortable place. But the text says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." Yeah. You see, if you run and not walk, there's a risk that you'll miss the lesson that God wants us to learn in the valley. You see, the mountaintop experience is great, but there's certain lessons that I only can learn when I'm in the valley. The valley teaches each and every one of us three basic lessons. Because you know that every valley that we experience is tailor-made for each and every one of us. So there are some specific lessons that God wants us to learn in our valley, but there are some basic lessons for all of us to learn in the valley when we walk. The first lesson that we learn in the valley is we find out who our friends are. I know I'm right about it. I'm not going to park there too long. I don't like too much negative preaching. So I'm going to keep it moving. The second thing that the valley will show us is it will show us who we are. Yeah, don't get quiet on me now. You see, valleys have a way of allowing our true character to come forth. See, there's a story that's told of three pots. And all three pots had hot boiling water. All of the pots were the same. Each pot had the same thing inside, boiling water. But in the first pot, they dropped an egg. In the second pot, they dropped some vegetables. And in the third pot, they dropped some coffee. You see, in the first pot, the egg became hard. In the second pot, the vegetables became soft. But in the third pot, there was a sweet aroma of coffee. What am I trying to say? The valley of life can sometimes make you hard and bitter, like the egg. Or sometimes it can make you weak and soft and begin to doubt your faith, like the vegetables. Or it can put you and create the sweet aroma of Christ. A sweet aroma of Christ where you'll be able to say, even though I'm in hot water, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, the valley will tell you who you are. Let me hurry. So as I walk through the valley, I learn who my friends are. I learn who I am. But the last basic lesson that we learn in the valley is we learn who God is. See, my valley allows me to see God in ways that I've never seen him before. You see, he's food when I'm hungry. He's water when I'm thirsty. He's light in the dark. He's my way where there is no way. He's a hedge when I need protection. He's my refuge in a time of a storm. My grandmother used to say he's my bridge over troubled water. He's my friend when I'm friendless. Yes, he is. He's whatever I need when I need it. Yeah. Don't miss this. Walking implies faith. Walking implies confidence. And it implies assurance. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is we walk by faith, not by sight. It don't say we run, but we walk by faith. You see, if I can see it working itself out, then I don't need no faith. The good news of my first point, I'm going to try to hurry get you out of here. Walk implies movement. You missed it. If I'm walking, I'm moving. You see, I might not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. Walk, Redeemer, charge you this morning. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep moving. And since we're moving and we're walking, that brings me to my second point. Text says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My second point. Through. Missed it. Through. That's a shout right there. Through. Through means is not my final destination. Yeah. I'm going through. And because I'm going through, and I know that today is the best day, I can now say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the trouble. I'm coming out of the pain. I'm coming out of the suffering. You see, I see the victory. For you got to see it before you see it. I'm coming out. Yeah. Look at how the psalmist describes the valley. He uses the words, the shadow of death. Now, in the Hebrew, the word death does not appear in the original manuscript. So the psalmist is not speaking of dead bodies all around him. You see, when the psalmist says, through the valley of the shadow of death, he means darkness. That's what the Good News translation says. Deepest darkness. The New Revised Standard Version says, darkest valleys. What the psalmist is saying, he says, death is symbolic of the closing of one eye. Close your eyes real quick. Close your eyes real quick. And when you close your eyes, the psalmist is saying that things become dark. The psalmist is saying that when I go through the valley, and it's the dark valley that I cannot see my way through, he said, but I will trust God. You see, God often works best when I can't see what God is doing. You see, God does his best work out of sight. Yes, he will. Text says, when I'm experiencing the deepest, darkest days imaginable, it said, don't be afraid. Yeah. It says, I will fear no evil. For my Bible readers, fear not appears 365 times. In the Bible, we're told, fear not. You do know there are 365 days in a year. Yeah. God is saying, every day that I rise, fear not. Yes, he is. God is saying, I don't have to say some of today, fear not for tomorrow. For every day, I get a new fear not. Yeah, I don't have to borrow tomorrow's fear not. Yeah, for today, God has given me a fear not. Yeah, so God is saying, every day, every day, fear not. Yeah. I want to hold you too long. Lastly, as I walk and I learn the lessons by going through the valley, the place of the deep darkness, I won't be scared, because my third and final point says, the Lord is with me. Text says, for thou art with me. The movement of the 23rd Psalm can be summarized when you consider the first words, the middle words, and the last word. You see, the first word is in verse 1. The Lord. The middle word is in verse 4. With me. And the last word is in verse 6. Forever. Now, if you put them all together. The Lord. With me. Forever. The Lord. With Redeemer. Forever. Now, we call this the witness of God. I've got to use that seminary stuff every now and then. The witness of God. You see, it's a central theme of this psalm. It's also a powerful theme that runs through the Bible. Let me call a roll real briefly. In Judges chapter 6, when Gideon, a young farmer, was worried about what the future would bring. He got a messenger from the Lord that said, I will be with you. When Paul and his work in Corinth began to start running into oppositions, the Lord says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You see, in Matthew chapter 1, when they said, name baby Jesus, call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you go to the end of the chapter of Matthew 28:20, Jesus told the disciples, lo, I am with you always. You see, we can have victory in the valley because of who is with us. Yeah. You see, if my best friend forever is with me in the valley, I don't know if I'm going to have victory. But if God is with me in the valley, and because of who God is, you see, God is the one that gave the dog his bark. He gave the kangaroo his hop. He gave the worm his wiggle. God is the one that took nothing and made something out of nothing. Yes, he did. God told the sun, take the day shift, moon, take the night shift. Yes, because God is with me, I can have victory in the valley. Yes, I will. Can I tell you one more thing? Because God is with me, that means that I have God's presence in the valley. And when I have God's presence in the valley, something begins to happen to my mind. In other words, I don't know how long I'm going to be in the valley, but I still am wrapped in my right mind. You see, when I have God with me in the valley, I have the protection of God. Yeah, only but so much can happen to me when I'm in the valley. And when I've got God's presence, I've got his protection, then I have God's power in the valley. And all I need to do is put one step in front of the other and keep walking through the valley. Yes. Woo. Yeah. My. I got good news. And I'm going to take my seat. Is that all right? I got good news. I know we can have victory in the valley. I know it. It's right there in the sun. You see, God will. Whenever I get in a jam, God will change his position to come and see about me. Glory. Yes, he will. Glory. I know he will. Glory. Yes. Glory. Verse 2 and 3. God is leading me. He leads me beside the still water. He leads me for his righteousness' sake. But God changes his position. In verse 6, God is not leading me. But in verse 6, God is following me. Yes, he is. Because goodness and mercy, they follow me every day. Every day of my life. Yes. But notice, if you will, verse number 4. Yes. God's not leading me. He's not following me. Yeah. But God changes position. And when I go through the valley, he's right by my side. Yes, he is. He's with me in the valley. Yes. He's walking with me in the valley. He's talking with me in the valley. Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he guide your feet? Won't he bring you out? Yes, yes, as I know, I'll have victory in the valley, because when it gets dark and I can't see my way through, somehow I feel a hand that grabs my hand. And when I touch the hand that's grabbing my hand, I can feel the nail prints. Yes, yes. Victory in the valley. We stand on our feet. Yes. As the deacons come, we open up the doors of the church. For today is the best day, because we've got victory in the valley. I don't know what your valley may be this morning. I don't know if it's relationship, if it's family, or it could even be health. But whatever the situation, God has told us that we can have victory in the valley. Yes, we can. Is there one among us that need to know the God that we know, the one that will give us that victory in the valley? Is there one here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? We want to give you that opportunity to give you victory in the valley here and victory and eternal life to come. Is there one among us? Where you come?